Good morning, and thank you, Dr. Tapley. We are all thankful to him to organize this symposium. Otherwise, we were almost going to miss it. So he made a lot of efforts to get through this symposium. And I'm not very happy that the room is not full, but at least those who are here are very interested in this. Now, I am a breeder. I'm not a nutritionist. My job is to develop improved varieties. And I have spent most of my life breeding cowpeas, and I'll be telling a little bit story about cowpea breeding and how we have also bred some of the nutritional traits. And my colleague, Dr. Avika, will follow my presentation, and he will give a little bit details of what we have done. Cowpea is mainly an African crop, but I will show you some slides to show that it has a global possibilities, and even I have ventured to say that probably it will dominate all other pulses in coming decades. So just those of you who are not aware of the pulses, next year is the International Year of Pulses through the United Nations, but pulses are a gift from nature, rich in protein, minerals, vitamins, and other health factors. Pulses evolved in tandem with carbohydrate-rich cereals and root crops at different geographical locations, and they together ensured a nutritionally balanced food for early human settlers. And these are the places where our ancestors settled first. They got cereals, root crops, and pulses. So wheat, barley, pea, chickpea, lentils evolved in West Asia. Rice, pigeon pea, mung bean in India. Rice and soybean in China. Sorghum and cowpea in Africa. Maize and beans in Mexico, potato, sweet potato, cassava, and peanut in South America. So you see there was always a starchy and a protein component. So nature wanted us to use pulses and cereals together as a food. But as we developed, there were many possibilities. I just wanted to remind us that in nature, this is the healthy combination that we should have. These are the photos of different pulses. Cowpea, as you mentioned, is mainly an African crop. It originated in southern part of Africa here, and it's major crop mainly in West Africa, and Brazil has taken over part of southern U.S. and, you know, whole of the tropics. Over about 14 million hectares, about 7 million ton production per year. It is used in many farms. Actually, this is one crop that we have a yard-long bean, and many, even in America, many people have this in vegetable garden, and it is really yard-long. If three feet long, can be have different colors. The vegetable cowpea can be foot long. Then the grain and the fodder is a component. In East and Southern Africa, they eat leaves of cowpea, keep picking leaves, and use it as a spinach. There are IITA, I was there for almost 27 years as cowpea breeder, and this has a global mandate among the CG systems. We have about 15,000 collections, including many wild types. And major producing countries are in that region. Major breeding programs are in Brazil, Nigeria, Burkina Faso, Senegal, US, and India. Not all over the world, but that has happened. Breeding objectives are high yield, diverse maturity, plant type, grain type, vegetable type, dual purpose, resistance to biotic and abiotic stresses, physical and nutritional qualities, seed, and this came later. Earlier we concentrated mainly on yield and yield related traits. So the major breeding objectives are high yield, which is for all the crops, and seed quality. Seed quality is the physical seed quality, and I'll show a slide where the acceptability of seed color and size differs from region to region. For example, in West Africa, they want brown, large brown rough or white rough. In East Africa, they want red or brown smooth seed. In Cuba, they want black seed. In US, they have a black eye. So depending upon the region, the physical seed type makes a difference. Then nutritional quality, the complex carbohydrates, proteins, minerals, and vitamins, and health factors, and my colleague Dr. Avika will be mentioning more, but we have recently been interested in putting antioxidants and complex carbohydrates. Then it's a fodder crop, so fodder quality, digestibility, and so on that comes out. This is one crop which has maximum diversity for almost all the traits. The maturity from 55 days to almost 155 days. Plant types, everything that is very, very diverse. And it's a kind of, I call it a breeder's paradise, working on cowpea. So we have, this 15,000 germplasm has been screened for, and we have got resistance to almost all the major diseases. I don't want to mention this, but viruses, nematodes, and fungal and bacterial diseases. Insects are a major problem in cowpea. We have got very good source of resistance to aphid, some level to thrips, and brookids. This is something that is storage weevil, and we have got very good resistance, genetic resistance for, if you can see a few holes compared to this one here. We didn't have any resistance to pod borer. Recently, we requested Monsanto to donate BT gene, and it has been placed in cowpea. It is being tested in Burkina Faso, Ghana, and Nigeria. And hopefully, in 2-3 years' time, BT cowpea will be available. And I hope in 2-3 years' time, scientists will educate the general public that BT gene has no adverse effect on human beings, and it will be accepted as a food, and it will be kind of a revolution in Africa once it comes. Then on the abiotic, we have done very good progress. We develop a screening method, box method in the greenhouse, so we bring drought in the greenhouse and test lines there, and we got major differences. Then the root screening and combine the deep root with a shoot dehydration tolerance, as well as low phosphorus tolerance line. So for abiotic stresses, we have done very well. Combining all these things, that is a local variety grown in Africa and also many parts of the world. It crawls on the ground 3 meters this way, 3 meters that way. And if you are interested in biomass, either grain or yield, you'd get very little per square meter. So we use the diversity from germplasm, cross the erect type with the spreading type, put early maturity, and using that combination, we have got varieties which are 60, 65 days maturity and very high yielding. They fit into multiple cropping. And also, like this is, these are the 60-day type, this is 75-day grain type, then we have a dual purpose based on what farmers want. This can be available. So we have a range of varieties now available which are resistant to diseases and good plant type. So initial focus in IITA, actually up to almost year 2000, was on just yield and adaptability, maturity, putting into cropping systems. And with the CGIR Harvest Plus project, I got some funds from that project, and we started working on quality itself, and many of the other scientists also are doing. So here we had acceptable seed size. I mentioned that there is a lot of diverse requirements in different regions. High protein, minerals, and vitamins, high antioxidants, complex carbohydrates, and fibers. Cooking time, since cowpea is still in the developing countries, cooking is a major event where the fuel is a shortage, so fast cooking time. And versatility in diverse food uses and local dishes, specialty products, home and industrial scale, fresh snack foods, extruded snack foods, and so on. So there are, we are not doing research on this, but these are the possibilities that will come out from cowpea. So just to tell you about the seed, I was mentioning that this is a type, and this type are needed in West Africa, white lard or brown rob with rough seed coat. And this is in Cuba, in East and Southern Africa, this one, and variety of other in other regions. So seed color and seed size and seed texture is very important. And these are highly heritable trait, you know, almost we have tried to do it. We did work on seed density, seed volume, wet seed volume dye. So I had 2-3 students who worked on it, and we got a lot of variability on this. We used just local equipment. Being in Africa, you don't have access to sophisticated equipment, so we designed our own way to measure these traits. And we got major variability. I've just mentioned here for this is the Testa percent seed coat and hardness, and this is reflected in the kind of a fiber content. The seed coat is mostly, so from 13.8% seed coat to as low as 4.8%. And this
So, and seed hardness, volume, seed volume, and so on. So, we got cooking time from almost 25 minutes to almost 1 hour. So, there is a lot of diversity that we found and tried to put these into varieties that will be there. What was interesting was that the smooth seed coat, which are preferred in eastern southern Africa, where they boil and eat boiled beans, they are much more in seed coat than the African varieties, West African varieties, where rough seed coat. So rough seed coat has less fiber or less seed coat percentage than the smooth one. So beans fit in the smooth type, and that's why beans are a high source of fiber. So the smooth seeded cowpea are almost like beans, and they have very high fiber content. The West African lines have less fiber content, and on top of that, they remove the seed coat when they prepare their food. So they are losing all the fiber and even minerals that are there. So I think this group even have to educate that pulses should be consumed whole. Don't remove the seed coat. And I come from India, where we eat dal, and dal making is remove the seed coat and eat only the split. So and those the split things, the seed coats are fed to the cattle, so they get all the nutrition, even the and we eat the just the. So I think we need to educate people that we have to eat the seed coat also. So we through this Harvest Plus project, we screen about 2,000 germplasm lines and all my best breeding lines that we had, and we found the seed size. Actually, there are some lines which are much larger than this, but very large variability for seed size. Protein from 22% to 32% protein, ash content, fat content. The cowpea and most of the pulses are very low in fat, and that's a good health consideration. Carbohydrate, cooking time from almost 21 minutes to more than an hour. Iron content from 51 ppm to more than 100 ppm. Zinc 33 to 51 ppm. Calcium, very rich in calcium, potassium. Cowpea is loaded with potassium, magnesium, and phosphorus is also very high. Sulfur is also very rich. So cowpea is really nutrient dense compared to many of the pulses. Dr. Avika and his group is looking at some of these lines, and these are the just one slide he will be showing you many. For phenols, these are the different genetic varieties here, and you can see the variability for phenol contents that are there. Tremendous variability for phenol content. Then the antioxidant properties, there is also a lot of variability among the varieties that were tested there. He will be giving you much more detail. Now, what we found was that antioxidant activity was almost linked to color, seed color, and this is more or less true in all the crops. These are the color type, and these are the less color type, and you can see a decrease here. I think I have a better slide. This is again work done by Dr. Avika's group. So the white color have very little antioxidant activity, and as you increase the color, the antioxidant activity goes up. And the color is on the seed coat, so if you remove the seed coat, you lose that benefit. So that's the thing that comes out. Here is one thing that we were excited, if I don't know whether it happens in other crops, but if we have a black eye white seed, and you cross this with a solid brown seed, the F1 becomes black, because black is dominant over brown, and restricted eye is recessive to the whole eye. So if we cross that one, this is a black eye white seed with a brown self color, the F1 becomes black. And the anthocyanin pigment in cowpea is only on black seed, it is not on any other color. So one of Dr. Avika's students analyzed this, and here are the two parents. Very little anthocyanin, but the F1, which is this one, has a lot of anthocyanin. So here is a complementation for color, but it also has the anthocyanin pigment that comes out. So for breeding, it just shows that this is a simply complementation of two genes, and that it has impact on
an unhealth factor. And Cuba is the one country where black beans, black cowpeas are delicacies. They have released two of my black cowpea varieties there. They were used to eat black beans, but Cuba is too hot to grow beans, so they use cowpea variety. Well, putting all this together as a breeder, we have now what I call as a third generation cowpea varieties, which are 60, 65, 70 days, with all the resistances, major resistances, and some of these quality traits that we are testing in different regions. So this is a slide. We have a project funded by Howard Buffett in South Africa, at his farm at Ukulima. And these are some of the lines that we tested there. And this is a field photo that you can see the cowpea. It doesn't look like what you saw, the crawling type in my first slide. It's completely different. And we got about 2.8, 2.9 tons yield in 70, 75 days, which is very good yield. And some of these varieties have 31% protein, fairly high in iron, calcium, and other products here. You can see that compared to this is a local from Nigeria. Compared to this variety, the new varieties are nutrient rich in almost all the component. And this work is still going on. Recently, I'm trying to make this crop as a global, and I will end up with a slide showing the future of cowpea as a pulse crop in the world. But I have a project in India, again funded by Harvest Plus, and I spend 4 months in India each year and 8 months in Texas A&M. We have released five varieties there, and the presentation by Dr. Upadhyay was the recommended pulse consumption is 80 grams per day per person. And right now in India, it is less than 13 gram per person. The pulses are not available. The pigeon pea dal, which used to be 50 rupees a kilo, this year was 200 rupees a kilo. 300 million Indians are not even eating any pulses, so they are real malnutrition. So what we are doing, trying to do is bring, and why it is happening, maybe I can mention this the time to mention it. Pulses, all the pulses, mature between 3 to 4, 5 months. Pigeon pea takes even longer than that. So when Green Revolution came in India, the most of the good lands went to wheat and rice, and pulses were pushed to marginal land. And so there is no good land for pulses to grow. Also, I should mention this because this is scientific comment I should make. In spite of all the world research through ICRISAT, through ICARDA, through Indian Council of Agriculture research in pulses, still we have not solved some of the major disease problems like wilt and blight in chickpea and pigeon pea, the borers in chickpea and pigeon pea. So the yield has not increased. Yield is still there in spite of all the research, and land area is not there. So as a result, pulses are stagnant, as just like 1951, the little increase. The major countries contributing to pulses in India are Australia, Canada, and US. We are importing about 3 to 5 million tons of pulses each year. And 25, 30 years from now, India will not even have enough pulses to even import. So because of that, I'm trying to push the 60-day cowpea varieties. That will come back again. So now in Africa, it is intercropping that comes, and we have changed that intercropping into strip cropping with a little bit of inputs, and that has changed the face of this. You know that Africa is now running with some of these, and in India we grow wheat and rice. There is no crop here, and so in 2.5 months period here, I'm trying to put 60-day cowpea in India. That is where those five varieties have been released, and the varieties I developed from Nigeria, even from here, they are working in India. In U.S., in Texas, I'm trying to persuade Texas farmer to grow cowpea, 60-day cowpea after wheat harvest. So this is a slide from Vernon, Texas, where we harvested wheat and 60-day cowpea matured. Actually, there it matures in 55 days because of the hard conditions. And then your soil is better for the next crop, and so on. So Texas can produce a lot of cowpea to export to India and Africa as we go along.
Brazil used to grow soybean in this Cerrado area, and they found there is enough moisture after harvesting soybean that a crop of 60-day cowpea can come. And they are running with the 60-day cowpea there. Actually, they have developed mechanization. This is the soybean residue after the soybean, and you see the crop. And they are producing almost close to 1 million ton now. And quite a bit of this is already exported in India. So here is what has happened. All the pulses here, and these were 1961. And you can see that in 2009, these were production. If we look at the percent increase in this century from 2001 to do, beans have increased here. Chickpea has increased mainly because of the US, Australia, and Canada. But cowpea is one that has increased maximum because of the 60-day cowpea coming and fitting into multiple cropping systems. Lentils, very little increase, and most of the increase came from the Canadian production, and I'm persuading them to do it a little bit more. Peas and so on. So as we go in the coming century, most of these pulses compete with cereals for land. They may not increase any more. That production may be constant. And you can see at the global level, 41 million ton has come to about, this was 61, but it's now 71 million ton. And more or less it will be there. So unless we make it 140 million, 200 million, that 80 gram will never be available. So I am expecting that cowpea will be a crop that will be a multiple crop, fitting the anywhere there is a 2.5 month gap, it can come out. And this has been presented before, it is a high protein crop. And in US, already the health consciousness is coming up. And I'm saying substitute a little part of meat with cowpea, and you will be healthy like these young people. So that, I think, will be coming by itself. So cowpea as a poor man's meat, like in Asia and in Africa, and as a rich man's health food. I think that message should come out next year in the International Year of Pulses. A book here is on ASA Self there. They are selling it, and I have told all the cowpea story there, including that this is going to be a future crop, the crop of 21st century. So thank you all very much, and hopefully in coming decades the cowpea will be not only in Africa but throughout the globe. Thank you very much.
We have time for a couple of questions.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. That's great. Was your antioxidant and your other nutrient calculations cooked or raw?
Maybe Dr. Avika, would you answer that later? Or?
Yes.
But he has done a lot of work on what is the effect of cooking and so on. I think that will be in his presentation. Yeah.
Is there any indication that the donor was breeding for higher levels of nutrients and minerals? That's obviously has great benefits for human consumption. That the seed itself, gets stronger, or let's say ability to germinate in adverse environments. Is there any contribution to the actual, these minerals helping, seed health in addition to, the benefits of final consumption benefits?
If I understand your question, whether the minerals, iron and zinc extra, helps in the seed adaptability in germination?
Right, as you breed for those higher levels, with a human consumption health target, are you also finding that you get in adverse environments that those lines with high levels of minerals do better in terms of germination and in ability to fight off diseases kind of thing? Wondering if you get two benefits.
No, very good. I think I will. I know that because we have the black, red, and white color cowpea in our religion in India, and when you plant and there is a rain immediately after planting, the black and red will germinate, the white will not germinate. So looks like the colored seeds have some antibacterial, antifungal properties that they let it germinate, the white one rot. So there is a positive point on colored seeds compared to less colored seeds. But that is mainly, I think, that color has the anthocyanin pigments or antioxidants have some kind of antibacterial fungus. Other than that,
I don't think there is any payoff on yield and other thing, because we have got, these are very high yielding line with 20-30% protein and, you know, high iron and zinc. So there is no penalty for yield, but I think they definitely have better germination compared to the white ones.
We need to stop.